Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Good to see you all. Let's just pray, shall we? Father, I just want to thank you for the opportunity to meet together. Lord, it may be under slightly restrained circumstances, but Lord, we thank you for your protection. We thank you for the provision of our health services. We thank you, Lord, that you are here with us. And Lord, we hope that your spirit is infectious. Lord, we want to catch more of your Holy Spirit. We want to know you better. So, Holy Spirit, we ask that you would lead us deeper into relationship with Jesus Christ this morning. In his name we ask it. Amen. Do you know, time moves on rapidly, doesn't it? Marion said, "Oh, June's here," and I said, "Yes, but it'll soon be July." Which means that the children are soon moving up a year, and as far as our local school is concerned, the Heron Hill School, those that are currently in year six will be moving on to secondary schools. And as has been our custom for quite some time, we've paid for them to receive the moving on booklets that we hope will catch the interest of some of them, at least in pointing to Jesus as the one who helps us when we move on to new experiences. So those will be distributed by NISCU through the school. I'm also pleased this morning to welcome Tommy and Laverne Anderson, who work for World Gospel Mission. I'm getting my global and my world muddled up. I knew there's a W and a G in there. World Gospel, it says it on here. World Gospel Mission. You may remember Tommy and Laverne were with us about 16 months ago. I looked it up, it was October 2019. They've known Mike and Shirley for many years, and Tommy's kindly agreed to bring us a word of encouragement this morning while they're on holiday in our locality. So it's great to have you with us. Yes, Lord, we do ask you to speak this morning, to speak into our lives day by day. Lord, speak until your church is built. Lord, so often the church is a sad reflection of your glory. Lord, I want to confess on behalf of the Christian church, Lord, so often we have failed you. We've failed to show forth your love, your goodness, your justice, your truth, your mercy. Father, I pray that you would build your church. Make your church, Lord, into your image, Lord. And how you do that is you start with individuals. So, Lord, start with us. Build us, change us into the likeness of your Son. May we be full of the fruit of the Spirit that will bring you glory. And Lord, I thank you that it's not a hopeless plea saying build your church, Lord, because you have said in your word you will build your church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Oh, Father, we look forward to seeing your glory reflected in your church and people flocking to know Jesus. So, Father, touch us by your Holy Spirit, we pray. Change us into your likeness. Amen. I'm going to read a short psalm, or most of a short psalm. It's Psalm 19. It's one of David's psalms. The heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of his hands. Day after day they pour forth speech. Night after night they reveal knowledge. They have no speech, they use no words, no sound is heard from them. Yet their voice goes out into all the earth, their words to the ends of the world. In the heavens, God has pitched a tent for the sun. It is like a bridegroom coming out of his chamber, like a champion rejoicing to run his course. It rises at one end of the heavens and makes its circuit to the other. Nothing is deprived of its warmth. The law of the Lord is perfect, refreshing the soul. The statutes of the Lord are trustworthy, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, giving joy to the heart. The commands of the Lord are radiant, giving light to the eyes. The fear of the Lord is pure, enduring forever. The decrees of the Lord are firm, and all of them are righteous. Let's just spend a few moments in prayer. Father, we bring before you this morning those of our congregation who are sick, or particularly frail, Lord, or for any other reason unable to be with us today. Father, we know that you will be with them, and pray that they will be reminded to turn to you. Lord, we particularly think of Frank. Pray for his continued recovery. And Lord, that the surgery that he needs would be arranged at just the right time and will be effective, Lord. We pray too for Pat, that they will both know your peace, that they would seek you out, Lord, look to you for help. We do pray for our nation at this time, Lord. Father, we thank you for our health service and for the skill of people who are able to invent, if that's the right word, invent vaccines. Father, but we're conscious that so many people around the world don't have access to the kind of medical support that we have. Lord, we cry out on their behalf. Lord, may they call upon you for help and find it. May they seek you and find you. May they reach out to you and know you. And Father, as we look ahead into this new week, we pray for ourselves. Father, we pray for opportunities to share your love and your goodness and your truth with friends, family, neighbours, other people that we might meet. Lord, we are so privileged to know you. And there's so many people that we know, so many people that just don't know you, perhaps aren't even conscious of your existence, let alone having a relationship with you. Father, give us opportunities, we pray, to share your good news with them. And may they receive it with joy, hold on to it, grow in it, become your disciples. We ask it in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. Marion is going to come. And read to us from Luke chapter 24.
The reading is Luke 24, verses 13 to 35. Now, the same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. They were talking with each other about everything that had happened. As they talked and discussed these things with each other, Jesus himself came up and walked along with them. But they were kept from recognizing him. He asked them, "What are you discussing together as you walk along?" They stood still, their faces downcast. One of them, named Cleopas, asked him, "Are you only a visitor to Jerusalem and do not know the things that have happened there in these days?" "What things?" he asked. "About Jesus of Nazareth," they replied. "He was a prophet, powerful in word and deed before God and all the people. The chief priests and our rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. And what is more, it's the third day since all this took place. In addition, some of our women were amazed us. They went to the tomb early this morning, but didn't find his body. They came and told us that they had seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. Then some of our companions went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said. But him they did not see. He said to them, "How foolish you are, and how slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Did not the Christ have to suffer these things and then enter glory? And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself." As they approached the village to which they were going, Jesus acted as if he were going further. But they urged him strongly, "Stay with us, for it is nearly evening. The day is almost over." So he went in to stay with them. When he was at the table with them, he took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he disappeared from their sight. They asked each other, "Were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road and opened the scripture to us?" They got up and returned at once to Jerusalem. There they found the 11 and those with them assembled together and saying, "It is true, the Lord has risen and has appeared to Simon." Then the two told what had happened on the way and how Jesus was recognized by them when he broke bread. Thanks be to God for his word.
Right, yes, I think I can just hand straight over to Tommy now.
Okay. Well, thank you very much for the opportunity to be here this morning with you. Laverne and I remember our visit It seems so long ago when you think of it, because of all that has gone on in the last year and a half. And we enjoyed that visit, and for Mike and Shirley putting it together. And we decided we'd come back. We had hoped to go to Cornwall this year. Not that we didn't like Kendall, but we were going to go to Cornwall for a break, because we know folk who we trained with in Bible school who are down in Cornwall. But whenever we decided to go that direction, the government decided that they wanted us to do a COVID test on the way back through Southern Ireland, and then we would have to quarantine for 10 days. And we thought, well, that's a bit crazy, we'll not do that route. And then we thought, well, why don't we go to the Lake District, and we'll be able to spend a little bit more time. And we had that joy already. This last few days have been travelling around beautiful lakes here. I mean, you think of Windermere and Bowness. And then we went on up to Grasmere, I think was the place we went up to. If you ever go up there, there's a Café dos Scones, or Scones, or whatever you want to call them. But they're enormous. And I thought I ate a whole cake when we were there. But it was so nice to renew fellowship with Mike and Shirley and have them with us for that day. Whenever we were coming across, then Mike had said, I think Chris maybe said, well, Tommy, maybe share this morning. And I said, that we love sharing the Word of God. We love sharing our faith in the Lord Jesus. And we want to say thank you for your support and for praying for us in the work of World Gospel Mission. I think the DVD, maybe you'll see it sometime. We put a DVD together because of what has happened the last 15 months. It really has put a lot of things on hold. And we haven't been able to get to Africa, to Kenya, to continue with the ministry. But we had hoped to get back this year. I suppose we all hoped everything would change, that it wouldn't last over a year, but here we are in our second year, and it looks like it's going to be next year at least before we get back to Kenya, because of the restrictions due to the pandemic. But I said, when coming along this morning, I said I would come along and bring a word of encouragement. And thank you for reading the portion of the scripture that I want to share from this morning with you here. But if I were to say to you, it's been an awful week, and the weekend just got worse. Have you ever had that? Ever had that week? And you thought, wow, what a week, and the weekend has just got worse. Well, if you were to put your life and go back over 2,000 years ago and to be one of these disciples that was read about this morning, like Cleopas or any of the other disciples, that probably would be the experience that you've had. You've had an awful week because you've seen so much happen to the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who has raised the dead, fed the hungry, the blind can see, the lame are walking, miracle after miracle after miracle. Wouldn't it have been exciting just to have been around in the days of Jesus and to see all those things happening? And then suddenly there's something going on behind the scene. And there are those who don't like what Jesus is doing. But God's plan is coming to fulfillment, because Jesus came into the world with a purpose, and that was to save sinners, to go to the cross. And now it was being fulfilled, and it was being planned to God's perfection. And the Lord Jesus has gone now into trial. We know he's gone through Gethsemane, the agony of Gethsemane. The disciples have fallen asleep. And then suddenly he stands before Pilate. And there's nothing they can see that he has done that's worthy of death. But the crowd shouts, crucify. And the disciples are listening to all this, and they can't understand what is going on. And suddenly Pilate says, okay, if this is what you want. And he washes his hands. And he tries to, as it were, to get rid of what he was trying to do by the washing of his hands. His wife has sent him a letter saying, have nothing to do with this man. This person is just, I've had a dream about this. Don't do this. He must have thought, should I listen to my wife or not? Well, gentlemen, that's one time when you should listen to your wife, because she was really in touch with God. But Pilate gives sentence. The death penalty of crucifixion is passed, and the disciples don't know what to do. It's been an awful week, and now the sentence of death. And Good Friday comes along, and two thieves are brought out. They're brought to Calvary. Jesus is led out. He can barely take the cross. Someone is asked to help him carry the cross, Simon of Cyrene. There the cross is taken up, and the thuds of the nails that are going into his hands and into his feet. And the disciples and his followers are listening to all that's going on. And their faith is being tested to the very depths. It's been one awful week. It's been one awful year. It's been one awful 15 months. When you go back to March 2020, who would have thought at the beginning of March 2020 if Chris had stood up and said, in just a few days' time, folks, this building will be shut. We will not be able to move around. We'll have to stay in our homes. We'll have to order our groceries in, or we'll have to go out, and maybe only one allowed to go out. Everything changed, not only in the nation, but all around the world. Who would have thought that the world could have been brought to a standstill almost instantly? Airplanes not moving. Traffic on the roads. Did you notice when you did go out then? You could park anywhere. They even done away with the traffic wardens. You had no problem parking. You could have parked on the double line and nobody would have said anything, because there's nobody there to complain about it. Wasn't it such freedom for driving and parking? But it wasn't freedom when it came to our lives. Restriction after restriction was brought before us. Families not allowed to meet together. Christmas was stopped as far as gatherings were concerned. Holidays were cancelled. Our holiday was cancelled. They've moved it to this year, and my wife is all excited because they've just announced this morning on the radio that the Canary Islands are going to open up again. Is it in July? Well, we don't go to the end of October. And so I said, does that mean you're going to get to Tenerife? Because we were supposed to go last year, and then they moved it to this year. It looks like my wife's going to get to Tenerife, so I hope she enjoys it. But think of the nursing homes. The elderly in that nursing home, not allowed to see their loved ones. And when they did see them, it was through a glass. Weren't allowed to touch. The psychological, emotional feelings of the whole thing has just been awful. Operations cancelled. Everything was COVID related. Anyone with maybe cancer or other problems in their health was almost put on the back burner, and it'll be looked at later. And now they're telling us that those who maybe had cancer and weren't diagnosed in time may not even survive because they didn't get the medication or the operation that would have been needed in an emergency. The list goes on and on and on, and you say, well, thank you so much, Tommy, for coming the whole way from Ireland to encourage us this morning, because we just feel on top of the world right now. We're so excited by what you've said. Well, I want to encourage you this morning. I want you to feel bad. I want you to feel that this is really awful. So I want to encourage you in the midst of all this. Think of these two disciples. Think of how they felt. They have lost the one that they had put their full, total trust in. Jesus. And suddenly he's dead, and he's taken from the cross, and he's put into a tomb, and the tomb is sealed. It's over. Death is final. And they're thinking among themselves, what do we do now? Where do we go from here? Where is our faith? All our hopes were in Jesus. Now he's gone. So where do we go from here? The government is Roman, and they're against everything Christian. If we go out and proclaim that Jesus Christ is our Savior, then they're going to crucify us as well. Where are we going to go from here? Can you think of what the debate was among the disciples, the followers of Jesus, at that particular time, on this particular day? And two of them says, well, look, we need to go down to Emmaus. Did they live there? They had a house anyway. And they're on the road to Emmaus. It's the very same day Jesus rose from the grave. It's the very same day. That's what the Bible, whenever we were here not reading. This same day in verse 13. What day? The third day. Jesus has risen from the grave. He's alive. And we know he's alive because we know the scriptures now. But these disciples were only in the making of the scriptures. And they're walking down the road together. And these two men are disheartened, and they're in the valley of despondency, and they're dismayed by all that has happened. Do you think you've got problems and perplexities? Here's two men's hearts are bubbling over with problems and perplexities that they can't find an answer to. Oh, they didn't expect it to work out this way. Things had gone so different from what they had set their hearts on. He says in verse 21, whenever they were talking to Jesus, they said, we trusted that it was going to be him. He was the one that was going to be with us. He was the one that was going to help us. We had put our hopes in him. But it didn't happen like this. Their hopes are gone. Their hearts are melted, and they don't know what to do, and the problems are just growing and growing and growing. And then suddenly everything changes. Jesus comes alongside. They've got their problems and their perplexities, but the presence of a person changes everything. And we know who this person is, because we read it in the scriptures. But can you imagine what it was like for these two men? You've got Cleopas, the other disciple, and they're walking along having this discussion, and Jesus himself draws near. I don't know whether it was within the first half mile, 7 miles. At what point of the journey did Jesus come alongside them? But Jesus comes alongside them, and as far as they're concerned, he's a stranger. Because whenever Jesus talks to them and he says in verse 17, what manner of conversation is this you're having one with the other as you're walking along and are downcast and are sad? And Cleopas turns to Jesus and didn't know, and he says, are you a visitor? Are you a stranger? Do you not know what's been going on here the last week? Have you not been around 3 days ago whenever the two thieves and Jesus was put on the cross at Calvary? Where have you been? Imagine you're talking to this person who is the Christ. And he's listening to them. The Bible says that their eyes were hidden, that they couldn't recognize him at this particular point. But you know what I love in this story? I love verse 15 where it says these words, and I'm reading it from a King James translation here. It says, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. Isn't that lovely? Sometimes you feel you're all alone. Sometimes you feel that you just can't cope. Sometimes you feel, where do I go from here? Have you ever stopped to think that Jesus himself will draw near and go with you? He understands your heart. He understands your thinking. He understands your feelings. He understands what's going on. Jesus hasn't been taken by surprise with the last 15 months. Amy Carmichael said, Currie Ten Boom said, there are no panics in heaven, just plans. And so the world panicked. And everything was in the crisis. And jobs are on the line. And businesses have closed. And shops may never reopen. And there's a panic in the financial world. But there's no panic in heaven. Plans. Just plans. I said to someone recently, they said, isn't it awful? They weren't Christian. Isn't that awful? This old pandemic, this old disease is awful. And I said to them, well, do you want good news or bad news? They said, well, give us the good news. I said, the good news is they've got a vaccine. He said, what's the bad news? I said, the next vaccine. This vaccine mightn't help you with the next virus, for it's going to get worse. So how do you believe that? I said, because the Bible says in the last days there will be pestilence. There's got to come more and more diseases. You see, I believe today, I believe that the second coming of Christ is imminent. I believe that Jesus is ready to blow the trumpet. I believe that time will soon be over, and I believe the second coming of Christ will come, and it may even come in your day and my day, and we might not see death. We might be risen with the Lord. We might, the dead will rise, and those who remain, we could be the remainers who will arise to meet the Lord in the air. It's going to be a great day. But it's good to keep your eye focused on Jesus. And Jesus draws near. They're perplexed with their problems of where to go. And suddenly, Jesus comes alongside them and goes with them. So I don't know what this week holds. I don't know what this month will hold for you. I don't know what your situation is in life. But maybe you're facing something in life that nobody knows anything about. Not even your pastor. And you're facing maybe a letter has come in and you've got to go for an appointment to the doctor, or you're not feeling well. Jesus will be with you. Jesus doesn't go to the operating room and leave, stand at the door and walk away. He's in the operating room. When we come to the valley of the shadow of death, he doesn't leave you. He goes with you. He's with you every step of the journey. And he comes alongside these two disciples and says, and Jesus drew near and went with them. And he asked them, he said, why are you sad? And maybe this morning he's looking into your heart and he's saying, why are you perplexed? Why are you troubled? Why are you concerned? Why are you not keeping your eyes on me? Why are you not staying focused on me? Why are you letting the circumstances that has happened in this last 3 days in Jerusalem do this to your life and to your faith? Lift your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful. Lift your eyes and look in his wonderful face. And Jesus began to speak to these men. You know what I love about it? They said, are you a stranger? Hey, he was some stranger. He began to teach them from the Bible. What a stranger. The Bible, I think there's a hymn talks about the stranger of Galilee, isn't there? And here's the stranger of Galilee. And it says, and beginning at the prophets, and by Moses and the prophets, he speaks to them and he talks to them. And he shares the scriptures with them. That was some Bible class, wasn't it? You ever been to a Bible class you wish it would continue? Ever been to a church service where you wish, could we not stay a little bit longer? Why did that preacher not just keep going? Or have you mostly been to ones and say, what time's he quitting? Huh? What time's the service over? When Jesus began to speak to these disciples, do you know what they said? Wow. Who is this? He knows the scripture so much. And he's told us all about the scriptures. And here we are listening to this man who's telling us everything. And he explains in the scriptures from Moses to the prophets. It was getting late in the evening. And just as they got to the dwelling place where they were going to stay, ready to go into their home, Jesus, as it were, was going to go on. And they said to him, it's late. It's late. Come in. It was a custom in those days to give a room to a stranger and to give them food. And they said, it's late in the evening. Whatever Jesus had been telling them about the books of the Bible and explaining to them the scriptures, they were so excited. They said, well, we like what we're hearing. Come in and stay with us. It's late in the evening. And Jesus went in and they sat down. His presence is still with them. And just as they sat down, he took bread, he took meat. And at that moment, God allowed their eyes to be opened to it. And the minute that he broke the bread, they must have thought, hi, we seen that before. We seen that just about a few days ago when he was in the upper room. And when he broke the bread, they must have seen those nail prints. Wow. Cleopas must have looked at the other disciple and said, the ladies told us he was risen. There was those who told us he was risen, and suddenly Jesus got out of the room. He's gone. He disappears. And one looks at the other and said, wow, I don't know about you, but boy, my heart's on fire. My faith is renewed. He is alive. It's late in the evening, but Cleopas, we've got to get back to Jerusalem. Let's get back to Jerusalem. We've got to tell the others, he's alive. You see, their problems and their perplexities were swallowed up by the presence of this person, Jesus. And now they've got a new prospect and a new message to go back and tell the others, he's alive, and he's alive forevermore. The future looked bleak, the future looked dark, but when Jesus stepped in, the future brightens. You know, we look at a world and the future doesn't look good, sure doesn't. We just wonder, what is going to happen? There's a variant here and a variant there. And they're calling it this and they're calling it that. And we wonder, will there be another lockdown? Someone had a clip on Facebook this morning I was reading. It says, by the end of July, wave number 3, all lockdown. I goes, really? That's not what I wanted to hear. My wife doesn't want to hear that either, because they said they're opening up at the end of July. But you know what? When Jesus steps in to the whole situation, he brightens it all up, doesn't he? He brightens it all up. Do you ever be around people that you just love to see them leaving? You know, their presence leaving brightens up the day for you. You say, well, I'm glad to see her out of the road. Oh, wasn't he awful? And there's other people that come in, and there's such a personality that they just brighten everything up and put a smile on your face. And Jesus is one of those people. When he comes into the room, when he comes into your life, he just brightens everything up. Because he gives us a hope, a future, a prospect. And these disciples now run back to Jerusalem to tell the other disciples, he is alive. He is alive. We have seen him. Our hearts were burning within us that we couldn't stay down in a mess tonight. We had to get back up again. We had to come and tell you that Jesus is alive and Jesus is coming. Jesus is coming. And if you continue to read that portion of scripture, you'll go into read on that there they were in the room and Jesus comes along. You'll also find there's a doubting Thomas stuck in there. And Thomas, he says, oh, these two men whose hearts were on fire. Sometimes preachers, sometimes we think, does people not really believe what we're saying? Sometimes, you know, say, ah, sorry for him, that's what he believes, I'm not too sure. But here were two disciples on fire that met and walked with Jesus. And come back and Thomas says, oh, unless I see the nail prints, unless I put my finger in the nail prints, I'll never believe. And just at that, Jesus comes into the room. He says, oh, Thomas, you're having trouble believing. Come. Remember this morning, you're having trouble believing. Why not just say, Lord Jesus, reveal yourself afresh to me. Here were two disciples. They thought everything was over. They thought the end for them had come. And then Jesus himself drew near. Isn't it lovely when Jesus draws near? But not only did he draw near, he went with them. And so he'll go with you today. And he'll be with you tomorrow. And he'll be with you next week and next month and next year. And he'll be with you because he says, I will never leave you and I will never forsake you. I'm with you to the end of the day. What a Savior. What a wonderful Lord we serve. And this morning, if you don't know him, Why not put your trust in him? He wants to be your saviour. He wants to be your friend. And he wants to walk this journey with you. Maybe you're going down a road this morning that feels like the Emmaus journey. But you know, if Jesus is allowed to draw near you and you invite him into your life, the journey would be so much brighter. And when you get to the end of it, you'll say, wow, what a journey. What a journey. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the opportunity this morning to come along and to share from the Word of God. We thank you, Lord, for the experience on the Emmaus Road that these two disciples received, all because Jesus himself drew near. And maybe, Lord, someone this morning in their hearts is not what it used to be. Maybe, Lord, this morning they're feeling downcast, downheartened, and they're in a valley and they don't know how to get out of it. Lord Jesus, I pray this morning that let the Savior maybe into their heart, into their life. And if Jesus, if you're already there in their heart and life, that Lord Jesus, they let you speak to them and revive their faith and put a new glow and a new fire in their heart. Lord, we live in a world where so much darkness surrounds us. Evil seems to be on the increase. But Lord, we know that our God reigns. Jesus is on the throne, and he will remember his own. Thank you for this opportunity this morning to be with these dear folk here in Kendal. And Lord, bless the word, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Chris.
Jesus is coming back. It may even be in our lifetimes. But marvellous as that is, we don't even need to wait that long, do we, to know him, to be in intimate relationship with him. That is so. Any troubles we may have surely must pale into insignificance if we can get them in proportion to knowing him. Let's share the grace together. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen.